Hi, everyone. I am Heather Markell, and this is the third of my new video series, which is called The Inspired Nomads. What happens when you kind of trade stability to go and travel the world? Well, that's what I am trying to find out. And so far, I am fascinated by all the answers I'm getting. So I'm going to keep going. And I'm hoping that this series may inspire those of you out there that are mid-career, not happy with the career, not happy with your life. You've thought about traveling the world for a long time, but maybe you think you can't. And I'm hoping that if you listen to the series, you'll realize you can. So today's guest is Jessica Frodano. I hope I said that right. Jessica, tell us, where are you from in the world originally?
Yeah, I was born and raised in Florida in the United States. And before I left the US, I was living in Austin, Texas for 6 years.
Wow, okay, that's amazing. And where are you right this moment?
I am in Bali, Indonesia.
Bali, Indonesia. Very cool. That's a place I want to go. I didn't get to go there. And I am coming to you from Posadas in the north of Argentina. So we have an 11-hour time difference. So thank you so much for, you know, arranging that we could be on opposite sides of the world at opposite times and still meet. So that's great. So my first question for you is, so here you are in this life of travel. Actually, I think you've been traveling for 2 years. Is that right?
2 years. Actually, my anniversary is today, I think. Yeah, oh, 2 years.
Happy anniversary. That's awesome. Very cool. Yay. Hey. Yeah. And so 2 years ago, like, what was the stable job or income that you left to go do this?
Oh, gosh. I had been a director of human resources for Starwood Hotels. I was working for the W Hotel in Austin. I'd been with them for 15 years, but 20 years total. I worked for Coca-Cola as well during my 20-year career in HR. And it was a lot to leave behind, actually.
Oh my God, yeah.
It was my career, my baby. Like, I had grown it for many, many years. And yeah, that's what I was doing.
Wow.
Amongst other things.
So, yeah. I mean, if that sounds like a pretty good job and you were doing well at it, so why'd you leave?
You know, I started a small little food blog in Austin and it did really well and I was really enjoying that. And you know, my first jobs were in restaurants, so I thrive in that food community. And even in the hotel, they started liking the photography that I was doing and asking me on the side, besides my HR stuff, to do photography for our restaurant, for our social media and stuff. So I started doing that. And then other people around the city started asking me if I would do food photography for them. And I was really enjoying the creative side of things. You know, I'd always like chosen the more serious career because that's what we think we're supposed to do in life, yeah. You know? And then when I started really immersing myself in the creative side, I just felt a need to pursue that and see how I could do with it. I didn't know exactly what that was going to look like. I still don't know for sure, but I knew that I needed to get away from the rigid 9-to-5 thing and give my brain a break, because that is a really emotionally taxing job as well. HR in hotels, if you can imagine, is really fun. And then also just see how it is to live that way. You know, I had a lot of friends who were freelancers and stuff, and they always told me about all their struggles, but I wanted to see what that was like and see if I could make it in that lifestyle.
Amazing. And I'm curious, so when you started, you quit and you went to do something more creative at the time. Oh. Do you remember thinking, oh, I'll just do this for a few months? Did you have a timeline, a plan at all at that time?
Yeah. So, you know, this had been something I was actually thinking about for a long time. And like you kind of mentioned earlier that I was feeling a little bit of, I should mention this, and I'll get to when we talk later about advice, but I was probably happiest in my professional career that I had ever been. It's kind of funny that I chose the timing that I did, because I didn't want to feel like I was sort of like running away from something. I honestly... it was my favorite job I'd ever had, my favorite city I've ever lived in, my favorite house I owned, and I had great friends, and everything was really good, going good for me. And so I chose that as a change for a positive, not necessarily because I was like trying, I was super unhappy or anything like that. But yeah, sorry, I kind of got off track there, didn't I? But
no, I love that. But so when you did that, so you were actually happy, you were in this great position, and you, but when you, yeah. Did you think?
Oh, did I think temporary?
Yeah.
So I was afraid to go because I was afraid to go on my own. Honestly, like if I look back at that time, I probably wouldn't have said it, but now I can say I had a fear of just going out there on my own and trying to plan all these things on my own when I had no experience doing that.
Yeah.
You know, I had only been outside of the US a couple of times and I didn't really have experience like knowing, looking back, I didn't know anything about visas. I didn't know anything about all these things. And so I joined one of those remote work programs because for me that provided the perfect balance. Like, oh, I can go and they're going to handle all these things for me. and then I can learn and figure out what I want to do from there. So my plan was 13 months. I originally joined a program for 13 months and that was going to be my deal.
Okay.
I had 13 countries I was going to. Each month a different country. Yeah.
And wait, are you, why do I feel like did you join the program that kind of ended in the middle of your journey? And was it that one?
I did. I did.
We don't have to mention the name of it, but wow.
Well, it's not around anymore. Yeah, so I wasn't one of the only people who wasn't really excited about it, but, it, you know, they had promised a lot of professional development. And like I told you, I wasn't like, oh, I don't ever want to do my career again. Even though now I don't think I ever do. But at that time, I was like, I want to learn about international business. I want to go to, you know, this, they're promising me every month that we're going to like talk to business leaders across the world and we're going to get all this development. And so, and then also there was just like a lot of like forced social situations that I felt like weren't really right for me because one of my motivations for travel was to go and to learn other cultures and really try to immerse myself as much as possible. You know, you're always going to be somewhat of an outsider, right? But like, I wasn't able to do that traveling around with a bunch of like 40 people of most of them Americans. It was like, we just were picking up the city and moving it to another place. And that just wasn't for me. I didn't want to go party every night. I wanted to like go out and meet people and meet local people and figure out where people go and what they do and what's their religion and what's their art like. And, you know,
I love that because, it's funny, actually, I've been traveling for, minus the time that I've been home a few times, like about a year. And, I was looking into for this trip, I was looking into the program that does exist still. And thank you for saying that because one of the reasons I didn't do it was because I was worried that that's what I'm looking for, right? To immerse myself in the culture, to be able to drop, you know, at the drop of a hat, just be like, oh, I don't like this town. I think I'll go to the next one. Or I like this place. I think I'll stay longer or whatever it is. And, you know, so and that while it would be awesome to have that camaraderie, I think you're right. The number of local people that I've become friendly with, that wouldn't have happened probably if I were, you know, in my closed group of wonderful people, I'm sure, but still, you know, not.
Oh, yeah.
They
were wonderful people. And I'm glad I made some, you know, nice contacts through that situation. For sure. I have lifelong friends for sure through that situation who we have something in common. I think also though, once you, because that group has dispersed too, once you learn that, you can still get that by just different resources in the cities that you go to. Yeah. I'm sure you've learned that, like Facebook groups and
totally
join a coworking space or something, and you're gonna meet all those people.
Yeah,
and you can do it more on your own, than on your own time.
Yes,
not a forced situation, you know.
Yeah. And the other thing that I think is important about your experience that probably applies to many people is that things don't always go as planned. So how did that kind of lesson factor into all of your travel?
You know, just to be frank, like I lost some money on that situation. When I decided to leave, they were not like super excited about that decision. And I had to give like a 60-day notice, which is fine because I ended up leaving me in Seoul, Korea, which took a different turn.
Yeah.
But so I would say, like, of I'm not unhappy that I did it at all, because I call it my orientation. Honestly, I learned, I now have like a mental checklist in my head that my fears were a little bit correct. If I look back, I did not know what the heck I was doing. And I'm glad I had that. I think it was 5 or 6 month period with this program, because I now know when I go to a place, these are the things I need to do. It's like check, check, check.
Yeah.
To get to be okay. Like, I need to check on the visas. One other lesson I've learned along the way, I need to check on the safety situation of every country that you need to know. What are the problems? It doesn't mean you don't go there. It just means, like, if pickpocketing is a thing, then you are more careful when you're outside. Yeah. And so, like, you know, learn some words. Like, there's just some things that you do mentally, like how to find housing, things like that. I didn't know anything about that, and how to find cheap travel. Like, I'm super glad I did it, and I don't have any regrets on it. And yeah, but I would say if you're a super, super social person who likes structure, it's perfect for you. But but a lot of us leave because we don't want the structure. Like, we too much structure. And so,
yeah. Something you just said, that just in case there's like a solo ladies listening, the safety thing, I know what resources I use to check safety. Mm-hmm. Any specific websites or services you recommend for that?
Yeah. There's the United States has this, I can't, maybe you know the name of it. I can't remember the name of it. Yeah.
Okay.
And sign up, what is it called?
The STEP program.
STEP.
Yeah.
So you sign up for that and you can look, and I usually just like Google it. And the reason, I have my passport stolen off my body, my purse stolen off my body in Cambodia. Wow. With our passports in it, so my money, my credit cards, God. Everything. So I was in my first year of travel. It was a very, it was a good experience in hindsight, because it made me more thoughtful about making sure I researched some of those things before, because I found out that it was a popular thing in Phnom Penh. Like, people get their purses and their phones snatched all the time. And
oh, wow.
Had I known that, I maybe would have been more like aware of.
Yeah.
How I was carrying my bag, was in my bag.
Yeah. Okay. Awesome. Yeah. So that's the STEP program. Anyone that's from America specifically, it's a great, you just Google US government STEP program, and you can register and tell them what countries you're in, and then you'll get alerts to your email address about anything, manifestations and danger and earth. I just got an earthquake announcement from Peru, you know, really, really handy.
I usually just Google too. Like, I just Google, besides that, I just Google to see like what other travelers are saying.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Google's always like
I try to look at other bloggers sometimes, like to see, you know, restaurants, safety, just different things like that.
Yeah. Great. Awesome. So looking at, we talked about what you left, this amazing job, you know, why you left it. What did you have to give up to start this lifestyle?
Yeah, my dog was one of my things. Like, yeah, I love her so much. Like, this is Lola.
Oh my goodness. Lola's very
She lives with my mom right now, and it's been 2 years, and she's, that was one of the hardest things, honestly. I mean, of course, like, your friends and everything, but when you're a single woman and you have a dog, like, you establish a really strong relationship with your dog. And you know, I had a really great house. I bought a house in East Austin that was like this really cool up and coming neighborhood, the best restaurants and bars all around, and
yeah.
An amazing friend. Amazing access to all the music venues in Austin and the restaurants. And I had a lot of, you know, friends in that industry, and it was a really fun life. I was shooting cocktail photography, like having a really good time. So I gave up a lot, and a lot of people don't think about that. It's something I always push when people are talking about the situation is, you know, life is a series of choices, and this is a choice. And just like any other choice in life, you give up things to be in this lifestyle.
Yeah.
It's not always paradise. It's not always wonderful. Like, like, I miss my dog every day. But I knew that I needed to go and see the world, like, while I had a chance, while I still felt healthy and while I still had energy to go do those things. I didn't want to wake up one day and say, wow, I wish I would have done that when I was in good health. So I give up a lot. My career, my friends, my stability, my family is back in the States. I haven't seen them in 2 years. My brother just had a baby.
Oh,
you know, there's a lot.
Wow.
You give up a lot of this lifestyle. You really do.
You do. You absolutely do. I haven't heard the dog one before. I don't have a dog, but I'm sort of heartbroken for you because, you know, in Argentina, it's weird. The dogs here wander around like people, and though they have owners, they basically just wander the street, but they're not street dogs. They're like well fed. They're all super friendly. They'll all let you pet them. They might follow you around. Like, they're lovely. So I just can't imagine, like, if I had my, wow. So that's extremely, extremely brave. When you took this huge, like, leap of faith and everything, what were you looking for in that initially?
Yeah, I mean, I think sort of just circling back to, like, number one, I really wanted to learn. I learned about myself, like, when I was in college. I went on my first major trip outside of the U.S. besides, like, little ones to, like, Mexico, you know, like the closer things, was to China.
Wow.
In 2001. Yeah, when I was doing my master's degree, I did my master's in adult education. We went to a conference in Beijing and on lifelong learning. So in that conference, other people from educators from around the world spoke about the state of education in their country. And I just remember I was so naive at that time. Like I said, barely been outside of the U.S. China was such a different culture back then. It's, you know, it's evolved a lot at this point, but it was such a different culture. And then learning from all these other places, you know, hearing, like, there were places where women weren't allowed to go to school and that people had to walk miles to go to an educational facility. And I was, like, floored by that. I just had no idea that ever anything like that ever still existed in our world because I had lived such sort of, I guess, a sheltered life. And so from that point on, I became very curious about the rest of the world.
Yeah.
And then it just grew and grew and grew. And in HR, like, as I would host other people from other countries and things, it just continued to grow. And I knew I needed to go explore that. I just would be really angry at myself if I woke up one day and I never did that. And so I was looking for that, the knowledge. And then I was also looking for just a different lifestyle. I realized I had been chasing the American dream my whole life, and I did all the things I was supposed to do, and I got my degrees, and I bought my house, and I you know, all those things you're supposed to do, right? Except I didn't end up having kids or whatever. But I woke up one day and I was like, why am I doing all this? I have all these things, and they're not really, like, it's not really satisfying. So as a matter of fact, I just feel like my brain is cluttered with all these things I need to take care of. I own three homes. I was like, scattered all over the
place. Yeah.
One in Florida, one in Atlanta, and one in Texas. So I was like, I just want to simplify my life. And I'm glad I did it. Like, you know, you accumulate something. I probably need to purge again on my road. We've been 6 months on Bali, so it's easy to accumulate again. But those things, I wanted to see how the rest of the world lived because I didn't want to work 80 hours or, you know, 70 hours a week or whatever. I just didn't want to live like that anymore.
Yeah.
I didn't.
Yeah. That is so, it just echoes my own experience and other experiences I've heard. Like, it's just interesting how we've been told that this is the life we're supposed to live. And it's like the Matrix movie, like, we just do it, like, we're sleepwalking, and then, you know, you kind of, if you wake up in the middle of that walk, it's right?
And it's a guilty feeling. Like, I remember spending a lot of my first year or so feeling guilty about my decision to walk away from that and how, like, others might view it, and I felt bad that I was, like, living life, you know, living off my Airbnb income for my first time in my savings, you know?
Yeah.
And so, like, I felt guilty. I was like, everyone's there working really hard, and I'm working a little bit, you know, 10, yep. 20 hours a week or something on the Airbnb and stuff, but in my photography. But now I work a lot more, but yep. I still, it's not the same. It's just not the same. Like, it's not, I don't know how to explain it. I don't feel the guilt anymore, and I'm working to enjoy my life instead of just like putting it away and putting it into things that don't matter to me, I guess.
I think you just said it, right? The working for fulfillment instead of working for retirement. I mean,
yeah, wow. That's it.
No, that's beautiful. It's funny because I'm finding that too. Like, I kind of put everything aside when I first started traveling, and now I'm starting to pull things back in that are, you know, that I can monetize, but I actually enjoy them. So I'm actually able to do things that I like doing. And also it's with a totally different end game. And I don't know about you, but I'm certainly not living the high lifestyle that I used to. And so I don't need as much as before.
No, for sure. Like, I feel, speaking of guilty, sometimes I feel guilty, like spending money to go buy new clothes or get my hair done or something, because I'm like, I shouldn't be doing that. Like, that's the lifestyle I left behind. But I think you find a balance, and the longer that you are, the more of that balance that you find. But I like that you said that, because I feel like I've been pulling some things back in too. Like, I started teaching English, and although it's not exactly my dream situation, I also, it's something I wanted to do when I was younger. So I want to explore that. I want to try it and do it and see if I like it. And I do like it. It's just a little bit restrictive on the scheduling, because you're like putting your schedule ahead of time.
Yeah.
And one of the things I've learned about myself is I don't want to do that. I want to work when I get that thing, and I want to work for 15 hours. I want to work for 15 hours, and then I don't want to work for a day. Like, I want to sleep that day or something.
Exactly.
Go to the beach that day.
Exactly. So I know actually just talked about a few things, but is there anything especially maybe unexpected that you found during the 2-year period?
Anything unexpected? Like, you mean just like a learning situation, or
like a personal learning or an experience that you know, you kind of went into it thinking one thing and then you actually learned something else, you know, whatever it might be for you.
I mean, I think like a little bit about the travel, you know, with the group situation.
Yeah.
It definitely, like, I learned a lot about myself and my style and what I wanted. And it's like, it's such a, when I can, you can look at it from after the fact, you know, I learned what I wanted out of travel through that situation. I really learned. I was frustrated. I didn't understand. I'm supposed to be feeling so happy right now. And why do I feel this way? And it was just, like I said, the forced social situations, my inability to connect with the local culture that I really, really wanted. And so I think when you go out on your own, you're going to learn a lot about yourself. And, you know, there's this whole like finding yourself romance situation that you have in your brain. It may not be exactly like that, but you will learn a lot about yourself when you don't have the creature comforts of home, you know, medical, family, friends and stuff. And also, like, just to be really frank, one of the things that I've found is a lot of your friends aren't really going to be your friends so much anymore when you're gone. Like, they, you know, I don't know what it is. Like, I read some study the other day that, like, people don't want to hear about your trips because it's not relatable to them. Mm. And so that's why they're like, they pretend to want to listen to you. But honestly, like, your lifestyle becomes really unrelatable to everyone that you knew in your old lifestyle.
Yeah.
And so you're going to hear from maybe 10% of your old friend group, and the rest of them are not, you're not gonna, and it hurts. Like, it honestly, it like hurts you. You don't understand it, but it's not necessarily like you. And I think that's been one unexpected thing for me, is like, how do you balance that feeling?
Yeah.
Because sometimes you're gonna feel really alone. Like, sometimes you'll feel really alone. You're like, who should I talk to? I need to talk to someone about this. And you know? So I guess that, and just like, just the fact that you will learn so much about yourself and what you want and what you're, and I advise people not to like go get joined into any crazy like party scenes, because then you're not going to get that. You're not going to, you're just, it's going to be this bad routine, you know?
Yeah.
Cause I saw a lot of fellow travelers doing that, and it's like, it just didn't, it made their whatever they were searching for, it just made it like a deeper hole.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. So both of those things are so important. Actually, the first person I interviewed was talking about that as well. The difficulty where, because you change, it's not just, you have a whole other experience, but you're also changing and you're, I know he and I talked about, he kind of went after something that's supposed to be impossible, right? Like everybody back mm-hmm. home is in their job because they think like, this isn't, you can't do this. Like, I'm yeah. waiting for you to fail so that I can feel better about not having left myself, right? But if you don't fail, yeah. well, now we've got a problem. I mean, that was the discussion that we had with him. But I think you're right. The other side of it is that other people maybe don't actually want to travel. They're actually happy in the life they have, that's awesome if you're happy, whatever yeah. you're doing. But because you are now doing something so different, it's like, how do I relate to you? That's exactly such a good point.
Yeah, but I think also what he's saying is for sure is like a lot of the reasons they don't relate to you is because they didn't take that chance.
Yeah.
Like, it's not to say that they didn't want to or that they were like happy in their situation. A lot of people, when I was leaving, like I had people like say things to me that were like, wow, like, oh, if you can, you know, just, or people tell me like, you know, that other people were saying things like that, like, oh, she can do it. Why can't I do it? Or, you know, yeah. things like that, where there's this feeling, and I don't know exactly why. Maybe it's courage. It takes a lot of courage to walk away from your life, you know?
It does. And another thing I think that prevents us, I'm curious what your thought is, but I think I know that some people from my former life think that I must be like crazy rich to be able to do this. yeah. And it's just funny because I'm like, not only am I not, but I mean, it's like I'm living in places that's so below the standard of my life before, that's so much cheaper. I mean, do you think that you need to be rich to live like this, or am I missing?
Oh my God, no, it's the opposite. It's the yeah. opposite. I can't afford to go back to live in the United States right now, honestly.
Yeah. Yeah.
That is the truth. I was thinking about like just options. Like I'm not really ready to go back, but I was like, if I wanted to, I don't even know how I could do it on current situation that I'm in. Like it's so expensive to live in the States. And
yes.
and what it really boils down to at the end is you figure out what you need. I use this resource called nomadlist.com uh-huh. and it just helps me as a business for like cost of different cities, and it tells yeah. you like safety, home ratings, and all these different things. Like, I just sort of like, I look at it as a, you know, a gauge. Like, if I'm thinking of going to a different place, where are there other digital nomads? Like, how much does it cost to live there? How is the internet there and stuff like that? And I pick places where my dollar can go further. And like you said, it's the total opposite. Like I spend half the amount of money living in Bali every month, at least,
yep.
than I would living in Austin.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe even more than half.
Yeah.
I could be like a quarter.
Yeah. So I'm not the only one having that experience. You don't need to be rich to go and chuck it all in the air and go travel. So, so that's great. I'm glad.
And also like beautiful food is available to you for like a fraction of the price, you yep. know, like healthy farm to table food is out there. Like we don't have to pay a premium for that. It's normal in other countries, you know?
Yep. Yeah. I mean, Asia, when I was there last year I had to try really hard to spend more than like $25 a day. And I mean, here in Argentina, I mean, I just had like a beautiful like chunk of it was like, pork. It was like pork loin on potato with vegetables, and it was like maybe $8. Like,
yeah, and so, that was an expensive night out, depending on where you were.
Exactly, and that's probably expensive because I could have an empanada here for like 40 cents. So
yeah, we're the same. Yeah. Like the same here in Bali. Like if you want to get the street food off the street, you can get a boxo, which is like a meatball soup that they make for like, I don't know, 50 cents.
Yep. Yeah. It's pretty amazing. So, yeah. any, I know this was kind of advice, but do you have like a tip or advice for other people that are out there listening that would love to live this life but think they can't?
Yeah, I think a couple things I've people have asked me that before. And one of the first things I say is like, you have to be ready to denounce materialism. Like really, you have to be ready to tell yourself that, that you don't need that house, you don't need the car, you don't need the fancy clothes and the jewelry. And, you know, your bag will not allow you to carry all those things that you want to buy. So get a camera and take pictures of them and that, let that be your souvenirs, you know, because you, if you're not ready, like if people are in the States now and they think that they want this lifestyle, I tell them to like start selling off the things that you own and see how you feel about it. Like, because that's your life. That's really your life. And you can't keep things and you can't have things. So give that up and then see how you feel about it and start to save money. Like, you know, if you're going out to eat 5 nights a week, cut out to 1 or 2 nights a week and put that money aside, because when you do leave, expect that it's going to take you a little while to stabilize yourself. Like, unless you're already in a digital nomad career, like if you're going out to try to pursue a different situation, like you really have to have some money put away for emergency situations. And so like, make sure you're okay with that. And also, like I said, you know, there's a lot of things I've learned along the way, like resources, like do your research, do your reading, and make sure that you're researching the places that you're going to, and talk to other people, like learn from them, say like, how do you find places to live when you go to these places? How do you find your cheap travel? How do you find even like restaurants? A lot of places I go to, there's a huge divide between the tourist places, which of course we go to because it's nice sometimes, but you splurge on those places.
Yep.
And then the local places where you're going to pay $3 or $2 for a meal versus $20 for a meal. So you need to like, because, and also I think the other thing I want people to know is this is life. This is real life. Okay. So whatever problems you had with yourself back in your old life will manifest in your new life. Like you will find, they will.
Yeah.
You are you. Like it's not going to change because you're in Bali. I can tell you that. Okay. Yeah. So whatever you're unhappy with yourself, like you got to work through that and be okay with it. And then the other thing is like, it's just, it's not paradise every day. Like it's life. Like you're not on vacation. You can't run every day like you're on vacation. Like I don't go to tourist sites every day. I just can't. Yeah. Like I have to give myself time to sit down and just be okay. Leave Bali and know I didn't get to see everything I wanted to see because I was working and I was living.
Yes. Yeah.
You know?
Those are such good points. And it's so funny because in fact, the town that I'm in now is one where I'm like delighted because I tried to actually go and get on like a tour bus somewhere to see it. There isn't one because there's nothing here to see. So I'm like, this is kind of like extended my stay because I'm in this cheap hotel. I mean, I'm like, it looks like a luxury hotel and it's something like $25 a night. And I'm like, and there's just
nothing
to do here. So it's wonderful. I guess you can sit and look at the sky.
You're like, hey. Yeah.
It's awesome.
I can be guilt-free and I can sit back and relax. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I still face that guilt after 2 years, honestly. Like I still face that feeling of like, oh, I'm going to leave next month and I still haven't seen ABCDE, you know, like.
Yeah. Actually, I got over that guilt at some point. I just was like, you know what? That's like I realized at some point, the point of this journey was not actually to see everything. It's something entirely different, and I'm okay with it. And it's sort of like because we did this now, like we can still come back later, right, and do that stuff that we did.
I got to live here, like it's different. I got to live here, so when you live here you don't see all those things. Like it's something you have to, I learned also that I appreciate the slow travel mentality, and if you don't know what that is, I suggest people look that up, because I believe that slow travel is the best way to go, because it's like, to me, you know, if you're just going to go to another city and hang out at like Hard Rock Cafe, nothing against Hard Rock Cafe, but like if you just want to like leave America and go to another American place, like in another country, like that's fine, but you're not like, you're not immersing yourself in the culture. You need to, if you really want to travel, you really need to immerse yourself as much as you can into the other culture and learn, meet people and learn and ask questions.
Yeah, absolutely. So before we close out, is there anything else, any last minute, anything that you want to let people know about or share?
I mean, I think that the only thing I would say is I'm turning 45 in September, right? So is that I woke up when I was like 42, I think, and I thought like, I better do this because I don't want to be 65 and retiring and then maybe not have the same level of energy in that I do now. Yeah. Who knows? I don't know. But I advise people that if you have a really strong pull in your mind, because I know I always did, and looking back, I know I did, listen to yourself and do your research and talk to people that have done it and see if you think that it's something that you can do, because I think it's worse to live life with regrets later on of never trying something, especially if you're in a scenario where you can, you know, there's a lot of people who can't, they have kids or they have a sick relative or something like that. Like, if you're in a scenario where you can, oh, that's one other thing. There were a lot of signs in my life that were pointing towards this for me. Like, my company had changed hands. Like, I had someone to watch my dog. Like, I knew that I could rent out my house on Airbnb. There were just a lot of signs like pointing like, now's the time. Look around yourself at that point too and say, are the signs telling me that I can do it?
I love that. I had the same thing more with like health issues, and I was just like, that's it. I got to go, you know? So cool. Well, thank you so much for sharing everything. This has been, I've learned a lot, and I have found our talk fascinating. For those of you out there listening, I hope that this interview inspired you, and I am looking for other folks to interview. So if you know someone who should be here talking to me, or if you are someone that should talk to me, if you are, ideally you're over 40, you've left something stable to go pursue a life of travel. You've been on the road at least 6 months. I'll take 3 months, but at least 6 months would be great. And if you are that person and you want a little bit more information, I have a questionnaire you can fill out at www.interviewquestionnaire.com, and I'll put that below so you can read that too. And I would just love to have more of you on the show and more inspiration out there in the world. So thank you for joining, and stay tuned for the next episode. Bye-bye.